Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Well, and again, another opportunity to say Happy New Year to a broadcast partner. Here we are, the end of January. Lynn Moran, how are you doing, Lynn?
Good, how are you?
Couldn't be better. I teed you up earlier in the show saying last year, I know we wrapped up talking about how to be mindful and set very clear intentions as opposed to following the trap of resolutions. But still in the mix of being able to fulfill our intentions is how do I do with all the other stuff I've got in my plate? Because I've just put these other things right out there at the same time. So today, managing with the overwhelm.
Right. Which is, I think it's more than the current way it's designated as work-life balance. It's not necessarily that our lives and our work are out of balance, but there's so much going on, we get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we get things coming at us, right? Which is, you know, I'm not very good at this, or I'm not very good at that, or I have guilt. And my point of view after a lot of years in business and, you know, raising a child, a family, as you are and many others, is that guilt is an energy drainer. All right? So I look at it more as you know, we have all along, what are the strategies? What are the things that we can do that can help us manage our lives? So at work, we spend a lot of time and focus on performance reviews, and maybe not always looking at, so what can I do to make myself feel better? Notice I'm not saying, what can I do better,
mm-hmm.
All right?
Yep.
Because that's where we get ourselves in that kind of cycle. But rather, what can I do to make myself feel better and my family about what we're doing and how we're doing it? So I find that, you know, and especially my coaching work, some of my consulting, and especially in training, so let's say training and coaching, people spend a lot of time talking to me about, and then when I get home from work, you know, I'm exhausted, or I'm tired, or, you know, I can't get people to do things, and, you know, things aren't working right, and so it causes me to reflect, because I'm a thinker. And what I come back with is, well, what is it that you need to do when you get home if your family is fed and they have shelter that requires you to perform? And maybe that's really what we're talking about. When we get home, there are things we want to do, right? We want to make sure we have the affection, connection with our family. We want to make sure they eat. And then we want to make sure that they're secure, they're tucked away, and they're okay, mm-hmm. No matter what their age. Even though teens don't believe we think about that, we do.
We do.
All right? And they actually count on it. They just don't know how to describe it. So my conversation today with you and the audience is, if your life is driven by an exhausting schedule, it's self-inflicted. All right? So there's only two ways to tackle it. One is to become more efficient at work, which we've talked about, strategies like organization, time management. But interestingly, although we schedule ourselves very often efficiently at work, we could take that mindset and do the same thing at home. And once you get into that structure, which work provides us, right? The challenge is home doesn't provide a structure.
Mm-hmm,
work
right.
Does. All right? Then we can start to say, you know, we're going to eat around this time. And if you're here, great. Now, this is, of course, for older children. But if you want to come in and grab something and come in and talk, fine. Now, I don't know about you, Zara, but in my younger days, my earlier days of being a wife and a mom, my house had to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had to pick up. I got very aggravated if I came in and the house was messy. And oh, gosh, the kids are eating, you know, not this greatest nutritious meal tonight. Not like every night, but once in a while. And through all the work and training I've done, and the insight you gain, right, over working with sure. others is, so what? At the end of the day, so what? So I just had to just share another conversation quickly. Somebody was saying, I come home from work and I do 5 loads of clothes and I'm exhausted, and then I get frustrated when the kids won't get in bed at time, and I'm like, so why don't you do 1 load 5 days a week?
Right, exactly.
They were like, well, didn't think about that. So we need to take the same kind of strategy that says, so if I stayed until 9 o'clock and didn't get that report finished because my expectation wasn't realistic, what would I do differently the next day I walk in to be more productive? Same thing at home. So we take these performance standards from work, and I'm actually pushing against not organization, but a little bit of the performance standards that might be unrealistic after we've been at work or on travel.
And as well, some of that as well goes into how we manage our life in our community, in our not-for-profit work, our volunteer activities, and so on. It's not necessarily completely transitional.
Correct. So if, let's take that example. So being a child of the 60s, I tend to be very involved in, you know, local fundraising activities and, you know, feeding the homeless. But when my son was younger, one thing that I could do to bring closeness and efficiency was look for volunteer work that we could participate in as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So we did crop walks. Or we, you know, would go down, and when they did the crop walk, that's where we would, as a family, or maybe just my son and I, depending on where my husband was, somewhere in the world, and we would work there. So instead of being away, something else to do is to be inclusive and find at least one thing. So it also shows the family where we go and spend our time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there are a lot of things. I'm also big, though, on if it's too much, then you have to give something up. We make those trade-offs at work all the time
right.
And I'm recommending that we make them as families also. Research shows that especially boomer parents, as they were raising their children, scheduled them as tightly as they scheduled themselves. And in fact, they're called hover parents because they managed every aspect of their child's lives. Not my research, but I think I'd have to plead guilty at least to a little bit of that. Okay? So I'm encouraging others, don't walk 10 miles through the snow like I did.
Right.
At the end of the day, when I look back, I'm like, geez, why was that for him, or was that because I thought he needed it?
Mm-hmm.
So that might be something to look at when people are also developing their plans for this year, their personal performance plans, which is, if I had more time, what would I do with it? And when you start thinking about what would I do, oh, you know, I might go out and read a book, doesn't matter whether it's on a Kindle or another technology, you know, tool, or just a regular book, but, you know, I might take a few minutes to kind of refresh myself so that I was more patient or I was more productive, whatever. But just looking at it, being more realistic about when we come home, we want to find quality time for our spouse or significant other, our children, family members, volunteer, charity work. And if it's an exhausting schedule, then the only ones who can really change it, because the only behavior we manage is our own, is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean we can't engage others in it, but somebody needs to step up and say, you know what, let's drop the guilt. All right? So we do best we can, and if we didn't get something exactly done just right, it's okay. All right? Just stay focused on what you want to do better and keep moving forward. It doesn't have to happen that moment.
Part of this,
so
of course, is
that,
yeah. I was going to say, part of this, of course, is managing the other committee that's in your head, or the shoulds and shouldn'ts that creep in on you. The, you know, the friend that, oh, but her house is always perfect, so I have to live up to that standard. Or I remember, you know, the expectation that my dad had of this, this, and this. You still have that walking around your head. So to kind of fence it off, love it for what it was. Those are your old friends coming back in your head, but that for right now, it may not serve you the best.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I had dinner with a wonderful person a couple weeks ago, and she said to me when first time in her home, and it was, by the way, gorgeous and spick and span. She goes, "But look, I got to tell you, we live in our home. So if there's a spot on the couch or if there's a spot on the rug, I got to tell you, I don't care." And I was like, I loved it. It took all the pressure off
sure,
me.
Exactly.
Think about it. I'm like, you know, I got to remember that. And I have to keep saying that to myself. Because, you know, those who are high performers do like to have everything done and everything done well. But my question for everybody is, do we need to?
And to the extent to which it crowds other things out, is it healthy?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, my son is 24 now. He is awesome. We have a very good relationship. And, you know, never once has he said to me, you know, I thought the house was a little messy. Or, you know, one day I couldn't find something I was looking for. It's true. You know, their memories are of what we did together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the experiences you share.
Now, I'm not talking about extremes, right?
Right?
But I'm talking about just the basic things where we feel like, oh, my house is so messy. What if a friend stops over? Well, my response would be, if they really are a friend, they get it. They don't care.
I think the other piece of it too, Lynn, don't you find, is that people really want to see everyone as people, and that we've all got our flaws, our opportunities, our stuff that's just flat out normal. And when you don't show that other side of you, you can really build a fence to be perceived as unapproachable.
This is why I love working with you, Zara, because you get it, right? You live it, too.
Well, I probably have had some bumps and grinds. Yeah,
other
bumps and grinds, though. I can't say that when my husband and I decided that our job is to grow children, not grow grass, and then the lawn looked horrible on the quaint, you know, historic district that we lived in Farmington, Connecticut, and didn't feel some pressure from the neighbors, but you still got to live to your own choices.
That's true. And I mean, if you let it grow up above where somebody could enter your door, then I'd say, well, maybe you need to get
some help. That's a problem. Yeah, that's true.
But if the grass was a little long and your choice or your trade-off was to be with your children, I think they'll remember that and not the grass.
That's right. Lynn, you've mentioned some of those performance standards we don't want to bring home with us from work. But, you know, there are a lot of tips and tricks for those of us in the working world that could benefit your family. Why don't you share a couple of those that have worked so well for you over the years?
I believe in one calendar. I don't believe in taskless. And I know that's kind of going against the grain, but that's kind of my nature. I'm not interested in going outside the box. I like to develop a new box. So I say put everything you do, work and personal, on your calendar. One calendar. And when you look at it, and people say, well, my secretary can see my calendar. I'm like, well, they probably know you have a family. I said, if it's too sensitive, just put a person's name down, but you'll know what it is. And so on this one calendar, work on your personal life as tenaciously as you do your business and make those trade-offs. Walking in the door without a plan is walking into lost time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm really big on this one source of what I'm doing, how I'm living, what I'm contributing. Excuse me. Another thing is, I like family communication centers.
I like that.
And family communication centers really are nothing more than a magnetic whiteboard. But on the left, it's got a schedule or a place to put messages, kind of alerts. And I like a color scheme with it. And when you introduce it into a family, it really helps the kids also. Because they're like, oh, if I have something for mom and dad to sign, I put it here. So we're not rummaging through backpacks. We're not arguing about it. You didn't give me that form. You need to give them a place to put it. And then the parents need to go and use that also. And it is amazing how it helps everybody just have a central place.
I think also
so that's another strategy.
You bet. And also for younger people, young kids, as well as one spouse to the other, you suddenly come to appreciate what your own accountabilities are in this whole process. Did I really have to call? You know, I look at the times my husband and I drop everything in the middle of the day. And fortunately, our offices aren't that too long, far from our kids' school. But we're running a textbook over in the middle of the day. And Ted and I have said, back to your comment about hovering. And we said, wait a minute. I wouldn't have dreamed of calling my parents, number one, because you couldn't, because you didn't have a cell phone, and saying, hey, I forgot my math homework, bring it over. Sorry, you took your lumps. you know, of being late or the consequences of having to stay after school. And, you know, you only did that once or twice before you never forgot your math homework again.
And that's really the learning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, you know what my recommendation would probably be? Sorry.
Yep.
Okay? You'll have to turn it in late. Because that's how to, now, by the way, I want to come clean. I did that. Okay? It was only later on that I realized, like, wait a minute. As I said to my son, I went to school. It's your turn. All right? So you need to learn those things. That's the learning. So we want to be helpful, mm-hmm. but in actuality, if you have a central place in the house for notes, books, backpacks, and sometimes moms will say to me, well, you know, but I don't like the house to be messy. I'm like, you know what? Then you have to make a choice. You want it neat, and you're going to be running to the school, perhaps, or in this case, money, whatever.
Yeah,
five
that's
kids.
Right. That's right. Five kids. Right? Oh, my goodness.
Or you're going to help them figure out where's the place to look for everything. So she bought lockers. I thought that was a neat idea. But that's still the strategy is doing something, planning something, looking for solutions, not just holding on to, well, if my friend comes in, it'll look kind of messy. So what? You and your kids will be functioning better, and it's about the family. And then I believe in always putting PT on your calendar. Remember before we talked about Ohio only handle it once, which is not mine?
Right.
PT is personal time. If you don't plan it, you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You start to burn out, and then what happens is overwhelm leads to stress, and stress leads to conflict. It is not a touchy-feely issue in our lives or in business. Because stress comes home and stress comes into the workplace. And that's where you get conflict. All right? It's a disruptive element in our lives. So the more that we can try to manage our own expectations, then perhaps the better we'll be at, not that we won't get stressful, but managing the stress and then at least, let's say, preventing, if not also tempering some of the conflict.
I think also you don't take yourself so seriously then when things slip through the cracks. You know,
sure.
That you kind of lighten up. And sometimes also just by writing it down, you'll go through a process of saying, wait a minute, should I even be doing this to start with?
Yeah. Isn't it ironic that even when you're running a business or at the very highest levels of an organization, unless you have full-time staff, which, by the way, I didn't, we walk in the door. And it's really still another aspect of our lives that I hope is equal to, if not greater than, our work. Because at the end of the day, the employees or the bosses don't leave with you. But your family stands beside you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we might have it backwards in our quest to, you know, provide security and to provide a good life. Some of those trade-offs at home, if we're not performing as high there, probably bring us some connections that we might miss otherwise.
That's fair. You know, it's you know, they always say, and I know you're one that does enjoy having a very active work life, family life, and community life, and people say, well, how do you do it? And it's one of those situations you say, how do I not do it because of how I like to integrate all these different parts of my life? But also, you know, that classic cliche of, you know, if you need something done, you give it to somebody who's already really busy, and it gets done because they have a coping strategy. They know the tips and tricks.
Right. And that doesn't change the pattern, though.
Right.
Okay. So I've kind of come out after, you know, 40 years of being around business. Well, yeah, about 40 now. 35. I'll take it back down some. And sales you always round up, and life you round down.
There you go. I like that.
Right? Yeah. So, say about 35, 36 years. You know, my car used to be cleaned every week. I was fanatical about a clean car. It's just an example. You know what? If my car is dirty now, I'm like, I'll get it done like in the next week or two. The relief is tremendous because I'm taking performance off of myself and saying, you know what? It's better to go in and get home earlier and sit down and have dinner with the family. So at the end of the day, we really have the ability to make some of the changes And when we do, it's amazing how others come along because it works better for us.
I was speaking with someone recently, and they said something that really brought to light how where they had opportunities to manage more in their 5-to-9 life, I'll say, is they started to test themselves of how often they were late, which, of course, in business is deadly if you're wanting to be viewed
right.
upon as a go-to. So they decided for a week to keep track of how many times they were late on commitments or connecting with family, friends, things outside the workforce. And they realized, kind of an own personal performance appraisal, this is horrible, I've got to do something. So for they were very mindful for a week and started coming early. And by doing that, they explained how much that de-stressed the scenarios, how much actually new things started coming their way, lifting that pressure, but new ideas, new relationships, additional knowledge that could help both sides of their life. So just something as simple as saying, I'm going to show up early, which, of course, in business we know you should always show up early for the meeting because there's always the meeting before the meeting because
right.
there's a lot more that goes on there sometimes, and also provide enough time to stay after the meeting for the meeting after the meeting. Same thing works, you know, in our personal life, to be much more present.
You just summed it up. That is the classic example of, so I know I can't do it in business, and I know I have to find strategies in business. Why not in our lives? Why not do the same thing? Because we know it's not acceptable in business. I would propose that it's not always acceptable in our lives either.
Mm-hmm. But it all comes back to managing those expectations, doesn't it, Lynn? I mean, the fact that you and your
we set them,
and you and your family, though, you probably openly discuss them. I know my husband recently suggested, you know, by having dinner at 6:30, you realize that puts us all in this tighter frenzy. The kids are hungrier, having come back from school, and they're teens, so you never know what their appetites are going to trigger. So by just moving the dinner time a half an hour earlier, what it did for us as our cadence within the family was wonderful, a very simple thing, but it took us stepping back
mm-hmm.
and realizing that need.
That's why I believe in kind of like a schedule that starts to say, because you don't have to hold to it forever, but it gives you perspective. So, for instance, I just recently did this with somebody, and they put a schedule together, and they're like, they have teens, and the kids are sitting there, and they're like, so if I come right in, I do my homework for an hour and a half, I actually wind up with a lot of free time after dinner. It's like, yeah. But if you kind of put it off, and you get through dinner, and then you're tired, how long does it take you? So, you know, they're kind of like, but I don't like to do it that way. But once you try it, it's amazing how much time you pick up when you schedule time, what it makes you is cognizant of how you're using it.
I think the other piece, of course,
I don't think it's a schedule that much.
That's true. Then the other piece of it is that by providing the schedule, you usually end up with a lot of buffer. And that buffer time is when you can then recover, or if you deal with the unknown unknowns, that you can fill in and balance. And we do that in the business world, in the manufacturing world, right, Lynn, in the supply chain management.
Absolutely.
And looking at the flow, and some of these very same precepts are things we could apply to our personal lives. Whether you have children or not, you have commitments with your
right.
pets, your neighbors, your elderly that you keep an eye on, the same dynamic. Lynn Moran, thanks so much from
right.
Arizona Coaching and Consulting. Our listeners, please check into the breadth and depth of Lynn's work by visiting her site, azc3.com, and we're going to look forward to connecting up with you in the next couple months, Lynn.
Thanks a lot, Zara.
All right, and thanks
a
lot for that.
Day.
You bet. Reminder on Ohio, only handle it once, and PT, personal
thanks.
Time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.